Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 76. Today on the show, we're going to be decking your halls all night long.
And with this, jingling your bells.
Jingling your bells so good with the Christmas cast. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about some Christmas memories. We might even take a field trip to the North Pole. All this and more on the other side of that intro music, DJ. Welcome to Super Gamecast 64, the show that's a video game show, but it's also a comedy show, and if you don't laugh, you're probably a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, is...
Hey, it's me, your buddy, your pal, your favorite elf, Kevin.
And
Tyler's back.
Yay! Okay, we finally have Tyler back. Before we kick off the
from
show.
From the land down under.
From the land down, the land of the rising sun.
The Sando land.
The, I have a question for you. Before we get any of this Christmas.
The desert palace.
Before we get any of this. The desert palace. Before we get any of this Christmas festivities kicked off, I heard a myth. You were in, where were you?
Pahonix.
You were in Arizona.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me if it's true.
Okay.
Is Nevada full of old people? Arizona. Shit. Wait, which one were you in?
Both.
Nevarizona.
Is Nevarizona home to the olds?
Yes.
Okay, it's confirmed. I read on the internet somewhere, confirmed old people don't flock to Florida anymore. They like that dry heat.
Well, they're all counting on the Chupacabra to give them the sweet release of death.
It's not close enough to that southern border.
The Chupacabra. Okay, so guys, a lot of stuff has happened in the past 2 weeks.
Really Christmassy, really.
You might have noticed our absence. Let me just explain. We were trying to work on some crystal clear audio coming into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about tech, doesn't always go as planned. So we're sticking with the old style of recording, but coming soon into the next year, we should be hearing some crystal clear audio, so hence the delay.
That being said, we also do know how to count. We just have marked this one as a lost episode. You may get to hear it in the future.
Yeah, so if I'm able by some miracle to whip up the audio quality on that last episode that we have put to rest, you guys might get it as a special episode sometime next year, but that is to be seen. But for now, we're continuing and trucking on into this Christmas special. Guys.
Hey, Tyler. Don't listen to him. I have a question for you before we move on.
Oh, boy.
I'm still on this Arizona thing.
Okay.
Do they decorate cacti, cactuses?
Cacties.
Cacties?
Cactars.
Do they decorate cacties?
Yes.
Really?
Seriously?
Trees.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh.
Absolutely. There are...
They do like a ribbon thing, or they actually hang like ornaments and stuff?
And lights and stuff?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Saguaros?
Saguaros.
Saguaros?
Better question. You know how like over here when you use pine trees, there's fake ones? Do they have like fake cactuses that are busted into pieces? You gotta go pull it out of the attic and bring it down the old fake cactus, and then you gotta
move the arms to be in the right spot?
People from the old days are like, we use real cactuses because fake cactuses
are... We'd hike 30 miles into the desert and find the biggest cactus we can fit into our living room.
I may be out of turn here, but I think we're expecting too much from Tyler.
You guys are joking. Fake cactuses are a real thing.
Wait, fake cactuses are real?
Yes.
Do they poke you real good?
No.
I don't want them. Speaking of things that poke you real good, here are a list of gifts that have been poking children worldwide. They really want these.
This year,
coming into the Christmas season.
So take notes. Even though this is going to be released like on and around Christmas, take notes because this is what your kid wants.
If you're a last-minute shopper, you're going to want to run out as soon as you hear this and purchase these gifts for your child.
And if you didn't get them these gifts, they don't love you anymore.
Yeah, no. You're going to hear a lot of resentment coming into January and February. You want to feel loved on Valentine's Day? That's your problem. You should have bought your kids the new NES Classic Hot Christmas Item. Tyler.
Hey.
Tyler's just losing his shit over there.
I can't help it.
Per usual.
I haven't been part of the show for so
long.
He's
just warming up.
You guys are actually funny. It's weird.
Thanks, bud. So, NES Classic.
See what happens?
So, here's the NES Classic in a nutshell.
That mini baby.
It's a mini NES baby. And inside the baby, there's 30 smaller babies.
Wait, is this another Kojima joint?
All right, yeah. Okay. No. No, it's Japanese, so just as weird. But
oh, okay.
What you get,
flip over the pod, it disappears from the trailer. I don't know.
What you get is you spend $60 if you go in a store, but that's not going to happen. You're going to have to go on the internet, probably spend like, $200 or $300. Get yourself one of these NES classics. You got 30 delicious old school games. So, you know, when you were a kid and you were playing your Mario, and then now you don't understand games nowadays. What is this Minecraft? How do you even craft a mine? And your kid's like, I want to play the games that you like, Dad. And you're like, all right, well, I sit down in front of your NES Mini.
Beat Lion King on Sega.
Yeah, right?
Good luck.
Cobra Triangle. That's
that's one of my favorites.
Highest level I'll ever made too is like 27.
So all things, because we haven't really talked NES Mini, actually, like seriously. It's a great console, sans the fact that the controller cord is like 2 feet. You know how they're like, don't sit in front of the TV, you'll hurt your eyes.
I think that's where we got our tagline.
Yes, Nintendo is forcing children to hurt their eyes by giving you a controller cord that is smaller.
Nobody than the saw that itself. Coming.
Yeah, no. Leave it up to Nintendo just to one thing.
Just stick it to mom.
It's always something, mom. Nintendo mom. Shigeru. So, guys, we all know. We all know. If you're listening to this podcast, you know what the NES Mini is.
Oh, yeah.
Question.
Oh, yeah.
We have some other gifts you might not even have heard of, but I can assure you these are Christmas must gets for your child. Have you heard of the Tickle Me Elmo, guys?
Yes.
Do you remember the Tickle Me Elmo and how it took over the whole entire Christmas stage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This year, 2016, Tickle You Elmo. It's a Elmo that your child gets, and then they put batteries in, and at any point during the day,
in the middle of the night,
it'll wake up. One more time for the fucking people in the back.
You can just
there,
pull Kevin. It and do it again. I'm not doing it again.
God, editing. So you'll just hear, that.
All right, and that wasn't a pull. That was me.
And then talent. Out of nowhere, his little red ass will pop up onto you and start tickling you, just getting underneath you. And first time it happens, you're like, wow, this is pretty crazy. Until you take the batteries out.
You know that. You know, at night when you're laying in your bed and you. You kind of stick your leg out to cool off a little bit because you're getting too warm under the covers.
Yeah, you got one outside the blanket, one in.
You put your foot outside of the blanket, and all of a sudden from underneath the bed, this little red paw comes up and just starts tickling your little toes.
But twist, he has a knife in the other hand, and he's like, I'm gonna murder you, Elmo! And you're like, whoa, shit, this is the wrong setting.
How does he have a knife in his hand if he's touching himself?
Tickle me, tickle you at the same time. That's not even Elmo. We have already brought up Hatchimals. They're hatchable animals.
Yes.
There's a new one also with the undying success. It's going to go forever, the Hatchimals. They have now created Hatch-a-Peoples. So you can buy an actual fertilized egg, okay? A lot of controversy lately with it. You buy a fertilized egg, and then what you do is you put it in your Hatchimal containment unit, only $29.99. 9 months later, believe it or not, you will have a child.
Fun fact is, though, it's clones of all the reject. It's the reject clones of famous people. So you might get yourself like an extra ugly Busey or like
a Daniel Radcliffe that has just one eye that's kind of hanging off. It's magic. Harry Potter and the glass eye. No. Hatch-a-Peoples are actually legit things. You know how your kid consistently is like, I really like this doll, Mom. Real kids want real pets and real dolls. You know, not, they don't want real dolls. But constantly, toy manufacturers are looking for ways to make their dolls more lifelike. So they have bridged the gap, removing the plastic entirely. Now, it does pose questions as to, like, the morality of whether or not children should be raising... No, I mean, what you're getting is, like, a 5-year-old who's now taking care of a brand new baby under the pretense that it was a toy bought at Toys R Us.
Sounds like high school.
It's true. And I went to a Catholic school. Does anybody...
Even more.
Anybody hear of any Any other super popular Christmas toys?
Drones are big this year. I was just at Micro Center today, and some guy walked out with, like, three different drones of all different sizes and shapes, and I'm like, dude, some kid is going to have a killer Christmas.
Yeah. And then you notice he was putting, like, automatic assault rifles on those drones, and you're shit, he's going to have a lit Christmas. I was wrong. Tyler, have you seen it? You haven't had time to go out, or...
No, I've had time to go out.
Did you see anything that was that maybe kindled your ideas?
There's a new RC Thomas the Train that I really want to pick up. It flies.
It flies? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
That's a really useful engine.
It really is.
Here's the thing about the Thomas the Tank RC car is that it's the story arc of Thomas the Tank Engine, where he was also the little engine that could. So in order to, he does not run on AA batteries. He runs on the hopes and the dreams of your child. So,
if he's not flying, it's your fault.
No, it's your child's fault.
They're just not believing hard enough.
Which is indirectly or directly your fault.
Can I also bring this up that I think that Thomas the Tank Engine that you're referring to is just a normal engine that's stationary? But based on the magic of children and their pure innocence, they can make it fly.
No, what happens is it comes with a packet of LSD, and they take that.
Much more than just your Thomas the Tank Engine will be flying after that. Okay, it's all fun and games. It's all fun and games at the beginning of the show, but now we got to get into the nitty gritty. We are still...
into the meat.
We are still a games podcast. So, keeping in line with the festive season... Boys, have you heard of any of this Crytek stuff that's going on?
Nope.
So Crytek is a studio that they released Crysis, got bought out by EA. Oh. EA now owns Crysis.
And they made CryEngine, right?
Yeah, they make CryEngine. So a lot of studios are, a lot of studios and developers use the CryEngine. That's how they stay afloat. So Crytek, they grew a heart of gold this year, and they gave all of their employees, well, let's say about 75% of them.
Children.
No, a great Christmas gift. So they were saving up. Crytek was saving up because, you know, I don't know if you guys heard, but there was reports out of Crytek that a lot of employees weren't getting paid almost 2 months ahead of time. It's because Crytek was giving a giant gift. They also had to shut down six of their studios.
Was it a layoff?
Okay. It started off as a gift idea, so they didn't pay the employees to save up, and then it was too much, so they had to shut down six studios, thus laying off like 75% of their workforce. But they were gonna make them a really cool reindeer ride, I hear. It's too bad. No. All right, for real, like there's no way to easy cut this. Crytek didn't pay their employees for like 2 months and then laid off, like they shut down studios in over six countries.
Oh no.
Merry fucking Christmas. I don't mean to sandbag it, but this is something...
We better just call this one. That's
No. What this brings up is the ethics of, like, how... this isn't a small company. I mean, you hear game developers and game studios, and you think, like, oh, some enigmatic thing. But this is just a bunch of people working for free. If your boss came down to you and said, hey, we're not going to be able to pay you for a week, and then 2-3 weeks goes by... Yeah. Yeah. So, honestly... I didn't mean to sandbag it, but I do want to send out my condolences for everybody who works at Crytek.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it really is. And I can guarantee you, Crytek is going real fast under. So let this be a Christmas present to you guys, the information that Crysis won't go anywhere because it's owned by EA. But Crytek, I think right now they only have two studios open. Their native studio and one in the Ukraine? But they shut down ones in China, Russia, I think.
There's got to be a cult joke there.
No. There is a... I mean, it is cold of them to do that, but also...
None of this is funny, but it has to be said.
I mean, it's got the word cry in it.
Right. Everybody hurts! Except for Tracer. Tracer from Blizzard.
Yeah, that's exciting news. It's cool.
So on one end of the spectrum, we have people being hurt. People being not paid and discriminated against. In the beautiful, realistic world of Overwatch, the long-beloved titular character... Not titular, that makes no sense.
You can't say titular in the same, like, bit as what we're about to say.
Good point. Okay, I don't know how to say this. Tracer is LGBTQ.
DQ? Did you say DQ?
Tell me, when she's upside down, does she fall out of the cup?
See, Tyler's getting... Why are you confused, Kevin? LGBTQ, isn't
that
what it is?
Overwatch is made by Blizzard.
Yeah, Dairy Queen. Lesbian.
What?
Bisexual. Gay. Dairy Queen. Tracer is gay Dairy Queen.
What?
Didn't you see there was a comic where she kissed a girl?
Yeah, no, I saw that, and she liked it. She kissed a girl, so and she liked it.
Obviously, she's gay Dairy Queen. Okay, and maybe I'm just stupid here, but don't normally people who aren't straight, like gay people and lesbian people and those all in between, they're LGBTQ, right?
I love DQ.
I assume that they all just get together and go to Dairy Queen.
How could nobody be behind that? Why are there so many people against it if it's Dairy Queen?
It's free ice cream. Now you understand my confusion. So if you're against the LGBTQ movement, just seriously, go play some Overwatch.
In all seriousness.
How can you be mad at Tracer?
In all seriousness, though.
I mean, just this joke is not at the expense of those who are fucking discriminated against and have terrible fucking lives because of the assholes in this country and all across the world. But guys, it's right there. Blizzard, DQ, how can you not?
In all seriousness, though, Overwatch has been really, really good about like being inclusive to different cultures and different races and stuff.
Yeah, isn't Soldier 76 a gay dad?
I have no idea. But it's super cool because there's actually evidence that Symmetra is autistic. Or she's at least on the autism spectrum.
Oh, is that a joke?
No, that's 100%
real.
How
isn't Symmetra the one who, like, built the crazy fucking flying...
The microwave blaster.
Oh, that's Farah I was thinking of.
Yeah, you're thinking of Farah.
But wait, is autism under the LGBTQ?
No, that's something completely different.
I don't know.
I'm just talking all walks of life in Overwatch. Even gorillas. Like, there's a place for gorillas.
Any place there's a place for gorillas has a place in my heart. I mean, honestly, all jokes aside, I really just gotta give it to Blizzard.
Once
again, showing positive, just absolute taste in knowing what what the world is right now.
Well,
what they want it to be.
They do a good job of doing it organically. They don't beat you over the head with it. I mean, they just included it in a comic, and nobody was like, hey, look at this.
Here's the difference, is that when you have a big video game franchise like Overwatch, it's simple. Put out a small comic. You know, you're not making a big deal out of it. Comparatively, when we found out that Dumbledore was gay, it's not even in the fucking books, but spoilers, I guess. J.K. Rowling, I think she just woke up and was like, you guys want to piss me off today? Dumbledore is gay. I mean, that was also like 5 or 6 years ago, but the difference being that...
5 or 6? It was like 10 years ago.
When did Harry Potter end?
Like 10 years ago. I'll look it up.
Harry Potter ended, and then I think she got bored and was like, hey, I'm just going to change around the sexuality of one of the main characters because I think it might get some headlines. Blizzard just like, guys, it's just how it is. It's in a comic. Why care? But hell yeah. So welcome aboard the LGBTQT train, Tracer. You're in good company. None of us are LGBTQ, but we love you. You guys were all looking stuff up on your tellies. Did you find
any? I was just
any?
Looking up evidence, and it just says on the Overwatch wiki, which is run by Blizzard, that she displays OCD qualities and is on the autism spectrum. Symmetra.
Well, unless she comes out and says she's autistic, I think that's a little bit too quick of us to judge somebody.
I guess. They only created the game, so...
Congratulations, you played yourself.
As for Harry Potter, 2007. Real close to 10 years.
Oh my god, I feel old.
Yow.
All right, so let's hop... The book. The films were...
2011.
Okay. I don't feel that old anymore, I guess. We're talking about games.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some, actually, the topical games that we've been playing lately. First off, let's kind of go down the line here. Because due to the missed episode, we're going to be a little bit late to some of this stuff. But the first game that we got to play, let's say the oldest game at this point, was Headlander, okay?
Man.
Now, Tyler, you've played a lot of Headlander. Kevin has not. So, Kevin, you can just shut the fuck up for this segment, okay? Thanks, bud. I played about 45 minutes of it on the Space Brain Gaming stream. If you want to check that out, twitch.tv/Space Brain Gaming. That's where we do our streams. I played about an hour of it. Got up to, like, the orange guard you get. You played quite a bit of it.
Yeah, I played 45 minutes of every hour that it's been out.
So why don't you do the fans a favor and just explain real quick kind of what Headlander is.
Okay, so you play as a head.
Yes.
In, like, a rocket-powered helmet. All the humans are pretty much dead and gone, to your knowledge, because that's what the robot man says. And
this is a 2D side-scrolling kind of, like, yeah, Metroidvania kind of
right.
Thing,
it feels very Metroidvania, but... Instead of collecting powers, you still do collect powers that help you get from place to place, but there are locked doors, and instead of having, like, missiles to open those doors, you have suits. You have a red suit, Orange, yellow, green, blue, purple.
It goes all the way up the
screen. And you can't jump.
I thought I told you you're not allowed to talk this segment, but you know what? Since it's the Christmas season, I'm bringing you back in the fold. You can talk all you want, bub. But yeah.
And you can't jump.
No, you can't jump, but you can, you know, take your head off your body.
Yeah, you can remove yourself from the robot body.
That's the gimmick.
And fly.
So if, say.
And vacuum other people's heads off with your vacuum powers.
Or headbutt it off.
I'm just a superpowered robot. I'm sorry.
So say there's a jump you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that jump, there's another person. Mm-hmm. You just fly off.
Yeah, you gotta vacuum their head off and pop your head right there on.
Kind of violent, TBH.
It's
robots. They're robots.
It's robots.
But they do have 60s personalities, and they're pretty groovy.
It's pretty great. I love, like, you can hit B to do melee moves on the combat robots, but if you take over a civilian robot and you press B, they just do a fun little groovy
dance.
They do
a little groove.
Yeah.
It's cool because it's like, hey, you know, these guys aren't violent. They're just, you know, here's something I will say about this game that I feel only Double Fine can achieve. And once again, this was a game that was brought to us by Double Fine, developed by Double Fine, published by Double Fine. Thank fantastic you, Double people. Fine. Yeah, they hooked us up real, real good. Thanks, Double Fine. You guys are awesome.
Oh, my.
Always killing the game. But the one thing I will say that Double Fine has done excellently with Headlander, even more so than the gameplay or all the presentation. And the style of the game, the visual style, is so fucking vibrant.
It is.
And I need to use the F word there because of the fact
what, that... What, vibrant?
That's a V word, dummy. Oh. Go back to second or third grade when they
I'm
teach you
the I'm pretty sure I learned that in seventh grade.
Vibrant.
Vibrant. How many words can you spell? None of these. I'm out of here.
Yep.
So it's super fucking vibrant. And I'm talking not just like... You see Gears of War and you're like, oh, it's a little bit less brown than it was last year. Now, this is like pinks and greens, and then you grab an upgrade and it's like, hey, you want to know what it would look like if you just dropped a whole lot of acid wall at once? And you're like, yeah, I do. And they're like, okay, then just get this upgrade. It is so...
Shoot purple lightning through your face and then rainbows shoot out of your eyes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, it's so great. It's pretty great.
It's very, very nice. Headlander is one of those games where I will find myself going back to over time. I don't know if I'm going to beat it all in one good stretch, but I am definitely... Well, shit, you know what? I'm going to say it right here. I know it's not GOTY yet, but I'm really sure this might have a win somewhere. So I think I'm going to have to blast through it over
Best
Christmas.
Game about a flying head
from Double Fine.
It's got at least three categories for me, like real categories.
Oh, yeah, no, we've been... let me just bring you guys in, the listeners. Let me bring you into what we've been doing over here. Frantically been playing every game we have received so we can give them all justified awards. I have beaten 61 games in 2016.
I think I've beaten 5, which is a record for me in my lifetime.
I've played a lot of games.
Yeah, I've beaten 61. You know how many games
I've
played?
Yeah, but like the thing is, once I found my GOTY, what's the point of playing any other games?
Well, I mean, there's other categories. We'll get into it.
This one wins all categories.
No, it doesn't.
It does, though.
I bet it doesn't do best tower defense.
It does.
All right, well, that's a little taste.
Can I play this game?
That's a little taste for Game of the Year. We're going to leave that stuff for Game of the Year. But Headlander is excellent.
Absolutely.
It's out for PS4, PC, Mac, Xbox One. I believe it's on Mac. I mean, that might be the only thing I'm wrong about, but I'm pretty sure it dropped on Mac the same time as...
Let's find out.
All right, Tyler's going to double check, but it's available on most systems. He'll get a confirm in about 2 seconds.
And in the meantime, we're going to switch to one of my more favorite games that I've played lately.
But real quick... Just seriously, guys, you need to buy this game.
Check out Headlander. It is really fun.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks. It's super, super cheap.
It is on Mac.
And it is on Mac.
Even for somebody like me who doesn't really commit to games, I had quite a bit of fun playing this one.
It's not a super long game either. It's 10 hours, I think. But yeah, Kevin, please regale the audience with this cute little game you guys play.
This is a good one. This is another one that you could complete in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's about a 3-hour
game. It's a fun little point-and-click adventure from Pewter Games. Pewter Games Studio.
Published by Curve Digital.
Correct.
Once again,
it is called The Little Acre.
And once again, thank you to Curve. And almost had like a little frog in my throat there. Thanks to Curve and Pewter Game Studios for providing us with their game to check out.
I don't want to derail this or anything. You need to stop eating live frogs.
I'm sorry.
Before the show.
Strange addiction.
You can literally eat them any other time. Do not eat them
for the show. Well, it wouldn't be such a big issue if you didn't have all my live frogs.
He does only eat them when he's here.
That's true.
To be fair.
The Little Acre.
Tyler actually has to step away because the Little Acre scares him on a deep fundamental level due to its insane cuteness. So the Little Acre...
Well, it also has to do with children.
Yeah, true. And, you know, he last time he saw children, they were getting sucked into a television. That's a Persona joke. In case you guys are new to the show, Tyler played Persona for quite a few episodes. All right, Kevin, let's get into the nitty gritty of this.
Little Acre. It's a story.
As a story. I think it is so compact and so cute.
It's so good bite-sized. Like, you know, nobody hates to get a fun-sized candy bar. Sure, there are bigger candy bars out there. And sometimes a king-size is just too much candy.
Well, and also, if you eat a king-size candy bar all in one go, eventually you might get sick of the taste.
Exactly. This, it's so well, like, so well made that the compactness does not detract from the quality of the game.
I believe the words you said were, it's a study in brevity.
It is a study in brevity. Thank you for quoting me. That's a really good quote.
But it is exactly what it is. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It gives you enough time to tell the story it wants to tell. It leaves some things up to interpretation. But overall, the point is, it's not... There's a difference between a game being short and a story being short because it doesn't have room to fill versus it's... They only need this much time to tell their story.
Well, and the interesting thing is, there's nothing particularly, like, overly complex about the story.
No.
But that's what makes it so great, is that it's just very, very, you know, face value, very clear and consistent, and you're never left sitting there, like, it keeps you guessing long enough that, you know, you want to continue to play the game, but not... It doesn't stall out at any time.
Did we already mention that it doesn't overstay its welcome?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about exactly right now, how compact it is and how well that is handled. But the thing you're going to notice right from the get-go is the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
What Little Acre does is it takes the game... It's like old days of Pajama Sam, Freddy Fish, if that means anything to you guys listening.
Nope.
Everything is animated. And not only is it... It's not cartoony. I mean, some of the characters have a sort of cartoonish look, but most of it kind of looks like... I don't want to say watercolor.
It reminds me of...
Hand-drawn painting?
There was a movie called The Secret of Kells, and it was done by a very famous studio that is escaping me right now. But it's very stylistic, and they resemble human characters, is what I'm trying to get at. And that's what kind of makes it so fun. You grow an attachment to these people, you know, because they feel human, because they feel realistic. And quite frankly, you know,
it's easy to empathize.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a really great atmosphere to it, and the voice acting is fantastic.
Well, if there's one thing I will say, it's that point-and-click adventure games have not been a giant thing as of late. I think the closest thing you can approximate to a point-and-click now that's at least popular are the Telltale games. But it's been a while since we've had a true point-and-click that's on a console that you can be like, yeah, this is a point-and-click, this is an adventure hybrid or whatever. I'm a huge proponent of point-and-clicks, and I will say with absolute certainty that The Little Acre is one of the best point-and-click adventures to come out in the modern age. I mean, it's just simply put, it is one of the best point-and-clicks that have come out in the modern console era. I mean, I know we're not too far into that, maybe two or three, four years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, oh my God, this is good. And this is what The Little Acre is a perfect example of what happens when you just stick to your artistic vision. Because I feel like if they wanted to make this more, like, quote-unquote casual or more gamey, they could have. But it's more there for the narrative, I think.
Well, and there were things in the game that, you know, it kind of took me a little bit to get. There were some times where it was sort of challenging. You know, you have to combine certain items and use them together to move on to the next step. Or you have to, you know, hit a certain switch to look at a room differently than you were before.
And yeah.
I don't know, it's just, it's very charming.
But you never get stuck too long like exactly. You used to in old point clicks. We've talked about The Little Acre enough where you guys should know, you kind of need to go and get it. Honestly, for the length of the game, the price is a little steep. It's about $13, and once again, it is a three-hour game. The achievements and trophies do tie where you're going to want to play it again. Most of the achievements and trophies actually can only be got on the second playthrough. But at least 6 to 7 hours worth. For the quality, $13. If you think it's a little steep, sure, we understand. But once this game goes down to $10, you need to pick it up.
Yeah.
Whether you're a fan of point and clicks, artistic games, or just indies in general, it's definitely one that needs to be looked at.
I'm really glad I played it.
Tyler, do you have any closing words before we jump onto this titan of a game?
Cartoon Saloon.
Cartoon Saloon.
They're the ones who produced Secret of Kells.
Okay.
It's directed by Tom Moore. French-Belgian-Irish studio.
So if you've seen that, then you kind of have an idea.
And Little Acre, I believe Pewter Games is Irish. Or maybe it might be the other one.
You know what? I'm gonna find out where Pewter Games are from while Kevin and Tyler intro this next game, Super Mario Run.
You just introed it.
Yeah, good job, Matt.
Well, it's also a joke because I'm not gonna be looking up where Pewter Games is from because my phone is off.
Right.
So Super Mario Run. Neither of us have iPhones. We have not played it.
I don't have an iPhone either, but I do write.
It's iOS only?
Yeah, for now.
Currently, yeah.
Oh, Android. You didn't want our money. I see how you are.
Android, it will be coming out soon on Android, but I write for a site named NintendoStar.com. Go check it out. We will be doing I will be doing text-written awesome games done quick coverage. So if you're a fan of the speedrunning event, AGDQ, I'll be covering it over there. Little plug for me, I'm sorry. Go check it out, NintendoStar.com. But I just did a review on NintendoStar.com. I don't have an iPhone, but luckily I had a friend who did and had just gotten it. So I was able to go chill over his house for about 3 hours, and that's how long it took me to beat the game, while I would say about an hour of that was spent not playing the game. So let me just lay it out for you guys. This isn't a free-to-play game. This is a free-to-start game.
Right. Mm. You get one level.
Three. You get the first three levels, and you have to pay $10. Okay.
Yikes.
There's 24 levels in all. 6 worlds, 4 levels apiece, 3 normal levels, and then like a boss, either a Bowser castle or one of the flying ships. Okay. It's good. Okay. It's good on a fundamental level. Also, Pewter Games are from Dublin, Ireland. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
No problem. Fundamentally, Nintendo has done a good job here with their first game out of the gate, but I don't think it's a good game overall.
Does it seem like it will lend itself very well to expansion?
No. And that's really the biggest problem is they can say they're going to add new enemies and stuff, but what it does... Ooh!
Oh-ho.
Surprise visit from Kella, the studio dog.
You got a big voice there, dog.
Maybe somebody's at the door and she's worried, or there's a little doggy ghost or something.
Go protect Sarah.
Yeah, good job.
The ghost of Bones Past.
The ghost of Christmas Future.
A smoky specter is floating into the room.
Anyway, so Super Mario Run, it's basically you just go. All right, Mario runs.
You just go.
You press one button to jump. You can like press it and then hold it again. He'll flutter. But here's the thing. It feels like someone just took a lot of Mario assets and then just kind of, you know, but it lacks the style and the heart of Mario.
Right.
First thing I noticed immediately, I was playing the game and I was like, let's see how close you can jump to these. Let's check out the hitboxes on these enemies. Got real close and ran right into them. But wait, you don't die when you run into enemies in Mario Run.
Oh.
You just jump over them.
What?
Immediately start jump? Mm-hmm. Immediately starting to see how this is not really keeping in line with Mario. I think the most Mario this game is the fact that you can jump and get a mushroom. And then, like, yeah, you'll see coins and PD Piranhas, but there's a certain amount of movement that's allotted to you in Mario that captures the charm of, like, going down the pipe and blah, 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 blah. Things that you can only do when you can stop. Now, I do believe that there is a way that you can make a Mario game with, like, one-touch settings that's going to be good.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I feel like they spent so much more time focusing on the gameplay instead of, like, giving you the Mario heart. I mean, it's just Bowser comes in and steals Peach. You play, like, 4 levels that... they're not going to be hard to pass.
It's really crazy to me that they are so laissez-faire with that IP because, I mean, there are companies that have these brand standards that if you don't follow them, you can't endorse them. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's very true.
It's so crazy to me that they're just so fast and loose with the most famous video game character in history.
As itself, for $10, there's not enough content or good content to really warrant a $10 purchase. You feel, at a certain point, you forget you're playing on an iPhone, but then when you look at it as from a Super Mario game, it's just not a very good one. So I would say that Nintendo did a good job capturing at least kind of what a Mario game should feel like, But once you dig down into a Mario game, there should be some substance there. That's the reason Mario's been in like 200, 300 games. Because right. It's a good character that everyone can relate to because right. It's fun. Was this another Matt Rantz?
I'm losing the Christmas spirit, my dude.
You know what? I have a perfect reason.
Yeah?
To kick back up that Christmas spirit.
Why?
You guys remember the teleporter?
Yeah.
We haven't utilized that in a while.
I don't really like going to that thing. It hurts my stomach. I'll stay here.
Okay, so...
I was going to stay back again.
So, we're going to go on a field trip to Santa's workshop. And you know what? Well, while we... Because we haven't used the teleporter in a while, so it's probably going to take a little bit longer. We'll go on ad roll. We'll play ad roll while Kevin and I travel to Santa's workshop. Tyler, you can stay behind and maybe cook some bakies? Bake some cookies?
Bakies.
Delicious bakies full of sugar and goodness.
I just want cookies.
All right. We are going to go. Tyler, before we go, can you put in the coordinates, please?
Yeah, I got it. I got you.
Coordinates are 0000 North Pole.
I don't think you want to go there. I got it.
Okay.
I'll fix this.
Nice. All right. Kevin, step in the machine. I'll get here real snug to you. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And away we go to Santa's workshop and ad roll. This show is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks in this and any other nation.
For now.
Well, Kevin's been diligently trying to overtake Audible to little success, but we'll check with you in a second to see what your newest audiobook venture is. But for now, let's just talk real quick about Audible. Audible is a great company. They provide audiobooks to you guys at a low, low price. Audible has agreed for our listeners to give you guys a free audiobook. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. It's like Super Gamecast 64. All right, so audibletrial.com/SGC64. Sign up for your free month. What that equates to is a audiobook token. You can download any audiobook of your choice for absolutely free. If you don't like the service, go ahead and cancel.
You can even cancel it immediately once you start the month. Get your free book, and
it's just like a Netflix or a Hulu trial. You just pop on, enter your credit card and your personal info to set up an account. But if you're worried about your credit card getting paid on or something, or you're forgetting, like Kevin said, you can cancel it right after. Just getting the free audiobook does support the show. Kevin,
it's also a really great gift. We are talking about Christmas today, and I know it would be a little bit behind, but for that person that you forgot, truly, like. It would be like $32. You get them 2 months of Audible. That's two free audiobooks that they could listen to, on their commute or, while they're taking a shower.
But better, if you want to use our audio, our Audible promo code, you could set that person up with a 2 months, but also get them three audiobooks. Only pay for 2 months. There you go. Once again, if you want to know what Audible actually is, it's a service. You pay $16 a month and you get a token for an audiobook. Now you might be thinking like, that's weird. Well, audiobooks are normally like $30, $40, $50 when they first come out. But just paying Audible the $16 subscription will get you most of those books for the $16 you pay. But once again, if you're not interested in paying for the service, you just want to try it out and see if it's your deal, just get the free audiobook and then you can cancel right after if that's your deal. It'll still help us out. Kevin. Do you have a audiobook maybe for those who are lost and want to try out a new one?
Yeah, this one is... It deals with Christmas, but it is certainly not of the Christmas spirit.
Is this... Oh, I think I know.
I've actually mentioned this one before. It's Nosferatu by Joe Hill.
We're big fans of the King family here.
Yeah, and actually, we have no... any sort of ties to them whatsoever. We just really enjoy their books.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole story is... is about this little girl who has a certain knack for finding things, and... She's pursued by an evil man named Charlie Manx, who takes children to this enigmatic Christmas land.
You don't know he's bad. That's called Christmas land. That can't be bad.
It could be bad.
Well, you'll find out in the book that you can get for free if you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. Feel free to pick out Nosferatu by Joe Hill. We've recommended other Stephen King books. The Dark Tower is a great series. Mm-hmm. If you haven't heard that, not really Christmassy, but it's still a great, great book and a great series.
It truly is.
Kevin, now you have been trying to overtake Audible with your newest ventures into the audiobook world.
So we talked earlier this week. I was driving around, and I believe you were on the phone with me when I picked up some Hitchhikers.
Yes, I do remember this.
Well, at first I thought they were just a bunch of children on the side of the freeway, which I thought was a little weird.
Yeah, you showed some concern. You're like, Matt, there's children.
There's like six children.
Uh-huh.
Well, luckily they were small. They all fit into my car.
Good. Wait.
Are you going to Christmasland, Kevin?
No, no. I don't drive a Wraith.
Okay. So what ended up with the hitchhiking children?
Well, the big giveaway was their clothing. They were wearing little pointed shoes and red and green and bells on their hats.
Did you accidentally pick up elves?
I did.
Ooh. Well, so
something many people don't know about elves. They have beautiful voices. These mellifluous tones that pour out of their vocal holes.
They're made out of happiness.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
and Christmas cheer.
Who else could make clothes and toys all year round and still like maintain some semblance of personality, right?
Yeah, elves.
Well, I taught them to read.
Nice.
Cuz Santa don't do that.
Yeah, giving back to the community of the elves.
Exactly.
So what's it for you?
What they told me was that if elves learned to read, they would overthrow the claws.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Okay. So when I heard that, I realized I'm Prometheus. I gave them flame, you know? True. Locked them in the basement.
Got a little basement cave of elf children.
Yes. No, they're not children. They're fully grown adults.
Wait. Where are you keeping them?
The basement. In the pantry.
I live down there.
I know you do. They're not evil. They're just...
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're mad at you.
Mad elves.
So, what are you prepared to offer us with your newfound elves?
So, what I've done is I've provided them with a bookshelf of my own personal collection.
Little elves on the shelf.
So that they have something to do while they're down there.
Yeah. Shelf elves.
Little books on the... Shelves. Elves on the bookshelf.
Shelf elves.
Shelves.
Yeah, okay.
And
sounds like
I keep my mic in the room, okay. Cleverly disguised as an elf's favorite toy to make, a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And since they don't have to make them anymore, they give that thing a wide berth. They don't want to touch that.
No, of course not.
They're not working anymore. They don't But they read out loud.
Oh, I'm following.
So I've recorded all of their readings.
Through a teddy bear.
So it's a little muffled, but you'll have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's only like 40 books, but...
It's only 40 books.
Only 40 books.
Well, how many bucks is it?
40 bucks.
It's 40... Oh, even Cal of the Studio Dog's upset at that price.
She's not a fan.
40 bucks for 40 books by elves. And what is this service called?
This is actually... It's called Books by Elves.
Well, can we just...
By elves, for elves.
Before we jump out of ad roll, I just want to ask you a question here. Do you think you're going to ever return the elves?
What elves?
Yeah, what elves?
So that's a good point. Once again, go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for your free audiobook and know that you will be supporting healthy professional workers in there. You won't be supporting kidnapped elves. That's if you go with Kevin's service, but they're not sponsoring the show. Only Audible is. So once again, audibletrial.com/SGC64. Go pick up your free audiobook if you want a suggestion.
And it helps out the show.
Nosferatu by Joe Hill, and it does help out the show. Kevin, believe we need to go back to the show. We are on our way to the Santa workshop.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to the show. We're here. Are you okay?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Nope.
Give me that Santa hat. I gotta puke.
Okay. All right. There you go. Ooh. Gives me the bends.
Oh.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm okay. Good. I'm good now.
All right. I don't think anyone has noticed us.
No. All right. We've landed under the cover of night.
So we're here.
Come in, boys.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
It's Tyler.
Okay, Tyler, yeah. Tyler, we are currently inside Santa's workshop. It seems that no one has noticed us. There isn't a peep, one could say. Not a peep was heard, not even a mouse.
So, that's why you're whispering.
Yeah.
I get it.
So I do... Oh, I see over here, it's a box of like... Oh, these are video games, guys.
It's a box full of the newest video games.
All right, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to relay this information back. I'm going to look at the titles of these games, and I'm going to tell you, Tyler, write this down. This is breaking news from Santa's Workshop.
We can release it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to read the back of the box. We'll do this real quick. All right.
Let's go.
Kevin, you grab some. I'm going to
Okay.
First one I got here, Tyler, have you ever heard of the movie Santa vs. Aliens?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It looks like this. It says Return of the Aliens, Santa vs. Aliens 2.
Wait, no. That can't be right.
It's a game based on a movie that isn't yet a movie.
But the weird thing is, it's the aliens from Alien.
That's really bizarre. You should see those other aliens.
It's Alien vs. Predator.
On the back of the box, it says, brought to you by Steven Spielberg and E.T. I think E.T. is actually over there in the corner. He's under a pile of Reese's.
He's under a pile of stuffed animals.
All right. Well, speaking of, here's another movie-based title.
This one, it looks... Hold on, I gotta turn on my flashlight. Oh. Ooh.
What is it?
Ooh, everybody's favorite mischief maker.
No.
It's back. Home really? Alone 4 featuring...
I bet it's some other random kid.
Grown-up Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my god.
What?
He's ugly.
If you see on the back of the box here, he's fully rendered, but he looks way worse than the rest of the rendered environments.
It's the bags under his eyes are so realistic.
So it says here on the back that this follows the story of Kevin McAllister into his early 30s. And
has not found a girlfriend or a partner of any kind.
He's also on trial for the accidental murder of the Wet Bandits after throwing bricks hard at their head. Now, it might be, I feel like we're in a separated timeline, because in our version of Home Alone, they survived the bricks. But in this one, it says that he was arrested.
And from the screenshots on the back, it actually looks like, you know, during his litigation,
it looks like he's
preventing law enforcement from entering his house with all of these kooky gags.
Yeah, well, I think the whole entire premise of the game is that you have to set up the Home Alone 4 house to kill police officers.
I wonder if it's just as difficult as the first Home Alone game.
You're breaking up. Say that again.
First Home Alone game.
Oh, yeah, that one was good. This one looks like it's not a hard game, but it's been a hard game for Macaulay. That's probably what this one's looking. Oh,
even the polygons on Macaulay Culkin's face look like they're just ready to give up.
All right, so I don't know if we should say this one live on air, but I do have...
I've been looking forward to this one.
I do have this. It is. There's a note on it that says, for the Clinton family. Kevin, you want to... What is this one?
It says, Ultimate President Fighter 2017.
Oh, and on the front, it has, like, you know how in Marvel vs. Capcom, I'm trying to paint a picture, you have, like, Iron Man coming in, then Ryu coming in. It's literally just Donald Trump and then Hillary and Bill fighting on the front cover. So this must be, like, unreleased UFC kind of thing.
I hear after, like, basically what they're going to do, after the full release of the game, they're going to slowly introduce new presidents that have been in our country's proud history. And
Theodore
every
Roosevelt.
President fights with a vice president that they can call in as a tag team partner.
Oh, it's like an assist.
Yeah.
Oh, you see this? It does say in the bottom right, it's made by Capcom. No wonder they haven't been releasing shit. They've been working on this one. Oh, wait, okay. No, all right. This one's a little bit more,
Wait.
Oh, it's like a two-pack.
Well, there's a couple of them. Teddy Roosevelt looks like he's got a move called the Rough Riders.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple more here.
Getting historical.
Oh, yeah. Getting real historical. Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of different combos you can do.
Like what kind?
Like economic combos.
Economic.
Social progressive combos.
It says here, right here, that if you activate Ronald Reagan, that you can actually cause a recession. And it just freezes the game. All right, this is getting a little bit too real. Let's go over here, this double pack here. These look like good old Christmas classics. I'm just going to read both.
Oh, it's a two-pack?
It's a two-pack. All right, on the first side it says, Rudolph the Red-Eyed Rampage, Frosty's Revenge. And then on the back, I'm confused. Frosty's Revenge, the Red-Eyed Rampaging Reindeer. It's a two-pack.
Is it like Castlevania where once you beat it, you have to play through it again, but upside down?
You flip it over?
So what it looks like is it is like that. In the first game, you play as Frosty, and it's like a first-person shooter. It seems like he's trying to kill the reindeer, right? But then in Frosty's Return, you're playing as the reindeer trying to avoid bullets.
Interestingly enough, it's one of the first multi-disc games for new consoles, too.
Oh, my God. I think Santa's been listening to SGC because there's also a Nintendo 64 port that has 7 cartridges here. This is unheard of. This is unprecedented. This is a 2016 breaking news. Multi-cart cartridges.
Wait. Matt, do you see that?
Oh, I see it.
All the way at the bottom.
Oh, my God. Grab it.
Oh, my gosh. This was only on cabinets before.
Yeah.
They made a second one. It's Revolution X2 Black Ice featuring the Black Eyed Peas without Will.i.am.
Holy shit.
Without
Will I Am. That means it could potentially be good. We don't know for certain. All it is, it's funny because the actual case is made out of black ice. It's got Steven Tyler's mouth, but just his mouth. So that's the only way you know it's Revolution X2. It just says RX, and then there's a 2 embedded in Steven Tyler's mouth, and this is black ice. But it's so slippery, it keeps melting in my hands. On the back, yeah, there's just a big picture of Will I Am with a big old red X over it. But Furry's looking kind of good. Oh, it looks like you actually play as people trying to kill Black Eyed Peas. Not Black Eyed Peas trying to kill.
Ho, ho, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, shit! Okay.
Clarence, call the security elves.
Merry Christmas to you, Santa, Mr. Nick.
Let's go. I don't want to be on the naughty list.
Jump in. We're back. We got back. Santa Claus.
That hurts me.
He was right up there, dude. Do you think Mr. Nick saw?
I was close enough to see his belly shaking like a bowl full of jelly.
Oh my God, was there jolliness in his eyes and a beard white as snow?
He put his finger on the side of his nose. It's the thing Santa does, you know?
He just... Santa lines up some sick rails of snow and just goes to fucking town. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Finger to the side of the nose. that's a drug joke.
Yikes.
Santa's, Kevin, he's a saint.
You're not looking too good.
So,
too many cookies and milk.
Tyler, I don't know
you
how.
You stole his cookies?
He keeps them.
We leave cookies for Santa every Christmas.
You think he eats every cookie?
It's pretty much like re-gifting.
I'm pretty sure you saw the man.
He takes them and brings them home.
Have you ever gotten a gift from Santa that was cookies?
No.
Maybe he does eat them all.
Or maybe he feeds his elves with them so that we subsidize his workforce.
You know what? That seems like a pretty democratic way of going about it.
I think so, too. That's actually quite smart.
So, we're back here. Tyler, I don't know if it was coming through clear. Did you get any of those down?
Yeah, let's see. I wrote down Return of the Aliens, Home Alone 12. Was it not 12?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Something about Rudolph, something about Frosty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was the UPC and
UPC 2017.
Cut out there at the end. What was the last one?
Oh, the last one was actually pretty. You know, I think I don't know if you're going to believe me, but it was Revolution X2 featuring the Black Eyed Peas, but without Will.i.am.
That actually sounds like a good game.
Yeah. No, I mean it is good.
Only because Will.i.am's not in it.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a travesty. You know what? Now that we're back here, I feel like the show has gotten... It went pretty sad at some point. Mm-hmm. The Crytek news.
We left.
A little content heavy. Let's embrace the Christmas spirit. Let's have a roundtable discussion here. What were your favorite Christmas presents you guys ever got? You know what? Let's start. Kevin, I believe you have a nice story.
I do. So when I was a young lad...
Your father? Took you into the shitty to see the Christmas lights?
No.
That's sad.
My sisters and I desperately wanted a dog.
A doggie.
A dog.
A pupper.
And we were finally old enough to take care of one.
Well, that's probably up for debate. How old were you?
I don't remember.
Old enough to take care of another life.
So anyway, we're sitting there Christmas morning and we are just like
certain that we're going to get a dog.
You're salivating for this pup.
We're ready. And one
thing Pavlov's dig.
What? What?
Pavlov's dig. Oh, you got Pavlov's dog. Pavlov's dig. And then you were like, I taste that dog. All right,
that's enough of that.
All right, so you got the dog.
So we do this thing every year where the big present for, you know, our family to share is at the end of a scavenger hunt that takes us all around the house.
That's weird.
It's just a thing we do.
It's a tradition.
Santa Claus writes us a scavenger hunt. We find the clues, and at the very end of the scavenger hunt is a big present for all of us to share.
Yeah.
Except this one wasn't very big. It was actually a small statue of a dog.
Aww.
It was an ornament.
Okay.
And we were like, what the hell is this? This is not a dog. I mean, it's a dog, but it's not a real dog.
Ah, real monsters.
So, for months and months and months, we're trying to figure out why we didn't get a real dog. We're a little bit upset. Till my birthday rolls around. I'm sitting on the porch. My mom rolls up. She's got a big old cardboard box. And she brings it up to me. I'm sitting on the porch, and I look inside, and there's this tiny little puppy sitting at the bottom of the box.
This little pupper.
The puppy that was promised.
Aww, what kind of pupper was it?
It was a little Cocker Spaniel.
Well, what'd you guys name it?
Corey.
The worst dog name I've ever heard.
You could have named it something cool like Spot, or the fabled one, or the one
I was like six, man. I didn't name it.
Yeah, well, didn't sound like you're taking care of it either.
Sandbag my whole story because my dog's named Corey.
That's, you know, it's good because
sick rhyme.
Thanks.
But here's the real question: how many people do you think like buy people puppies for Christmas and they're like, "I want this,"
and then they're like, "No, that's like a rule. You're not supposed to buy pets for people."
Yeah. No. Exactly. Unless you know
100%. Or white appliances.
Whoa. Really? Why? White appliances?
Or maybe it's just appliances.
Don't ever buy your girlfriend a vacuum.
It sounds really, like hard won experience.
You want to tell us this story?
There's no story there. I promise.
I can only imagine how that goes. It opens. She opens up the vacuum and goes, "What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you trying to say?
Wow, an Oreo,
huh, Tyler?"
And then as you shuffle the dishwasher out the back door.
Why would he push his girlfriend out the back door?
Woo! Super misogyny cast 64.
That's awful.
Let me tell you a fabled story.
I'm the dishwasher.
All right. I thought here's something. It'll bring Christmas cheer to you. All right. I was originally going to say that my favorite gift ever was Banjo-Kazooie, because we do, in my family, we do Christmas Eve, and that's when we get all the kind of the immediate family together. We're an Italian family, lots of family. We do Christmas just our family, you know, my mom and my brothers and my grandma. And Christmas Eve is like all the cousins and stuff, so we do a small gift exchange. One year, my grandmother got me Banjo-Kazooie. And I don't even think I said thank you. I ran downstairs so fast to play it. And for some reason, out of all the video games that I've received over the years, you know, I got a 360 for Christmas and stuff like that. I think it's just the jovialness that I had for it. But then I remembered, there's some context to this. So one Christmas, it was the Christmas, I think like 2001, maybe 2002, if I'm thinking right. Maybe 2000 itself. It wasn't a good year. Towards the end of the year, my dad had gotten laid off. Christmas, we were young enough where it was like, Santa. And so I think they were really struggling to get Christmas gifts together. We want, of course, as kids, you know, you would circle the things and the toys. Mm-hmm. So you have the expectations of what you're going to get. We didn't get a lot that year. And, you know, it's okay. You know, times were tough. And then my grandma, you know.
Pulls in the clutch.
My grandma brought this, you know, this present. She goes, "Here you go, boys." And we open it up. And it's a Nintendo GameCube. And we were so ecstatic. And my dad left the room, I think because he didn't have the money to pay for it. But my grandma was so nice that she saw how badly we wanted it. And she was like, "Fuck it, I'll buy it." So on that Christmas, not only did I get the gift that I had wanted, but there was also this weird familial, like, bond. I don't know. I mean, serious. It's not really like... But it shows that Christmas is the one time of the year where your elders will spend money on video game systems because they feel like they need to because your dad can't. I don't know if that's a good thing or if it's manipulative in any way.
My grandma bought me Pokemon Yellow one year, and I was thrilled about that because I'm like, you know what games are?
You know what games are?
And
my grandma's pretty fucking cool.
I mean, then I found out that, you know, the parents of the family
all the cousins wanted Pokemon Yellow, so they told her to get it for him.
Oh, okay.
But still, it was really thoughtful.
Well, that's kind of how I did it. My mom, my aunt would ask me what my cousins wanted when they were younger, because I was on the... I knew the games.
You're on the DL.
I'd be like, FIFA 2! Because they like sports games. But anyways, yeah, so my GameCube had a real close place in my heart, because it came from goodness. It wasn't just like gotta get this game system for my kids this year. It was more like, it's going to make them happy, and that's the point of the season.
Tyler, why don't you tell us about your...
real quick, I want to...
Your yearly tackle football game that you play in your living room
during
Christmas.
I thought you were going to ask me about
Turkey Bowl.
So I had a beautiful Christmas gift giving story. Why don't you regale us with your closest one?
Before we get to that, I just want to I want to paint a picture for everyone.
Paint a delicious picture
about Nana Krause walking into Funko Land asking for, I don't know, 13 copies of Pokemon Yellow for Kevin and all of his cousins. She's like,
okay, I don't know if this is right, but I need 14 copies of a Yellow Pokemon, and they're like, that'll be $560. She's like, what the fuck? It's so small.
What have I done?
I don't know why your grandma's also like an old, like a Lady Bane. What is this? What did you say before the show? Ah, you merely were, I was born into the season.
You merely adopted it.
Yeah, I was molded by it. All right, so your grandma is not young Bane, but Tyler, you can't get out of this.
Sure, fine.
Regale us the story.
Come on, tell us.
So, the year that the Wii came out, I had a job, and I wanted so bad to purchase a Wii for myself that I was doing everything I could. I was pulling out all the stops, saved every dime, and went to buy it. I was in line. The dude in front of me. He told me he purchased his third. This was his third that he was buying.
His third one.
His third Wii. I don't know why.
He was probably flipping them.
Probably, sure. Probably making a lot of money, too.
Yeah, the Wiis were pretty hard to find at that point.
Well, he got the last one.
Ugh!
And that was my last ditch effort. That was the only option I had.
You know, it says a lot about your character that you didn't murder him.
You could have.
I was also like, 14, 15, 16?
You had a job, 16, I think is the youngest.
16, 17 then.
Yeah.
Because I definitely worked at the theater.
You don't want to be starting a fight with a man when you're only 17. Actually, that's the best time to start a fight.
Well, I probably could have beat him.
Well, and if you did, I mean, you're a kid, and it'll get off your record within a year. That's a nice, for all the 17-year-old listeners.
Let's continue. Before we get into any sort of legal advice, let's continue with Tyler's story.
So that year...
That was for entertainment only.
My brother and I, we woke our parents up, and it was weird, because I remember this specifically. My dad was already awake. My mom was not. And that was kind of bizarre. And there's all sorts of gifts, all little ones. And then and we're opening presents. And dad goes behind the tree. He goes, you missed one.
I got you a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah, like straight out of Christmas Story. We're exactly that scene.
So
he puts this big box down.
Yeah.
And I look at my brother, I go, Dom, do you want to open that? And he goes, no. And he flies his helicopter off to what's going on? I don't know.
He's got a helicopter. So we all got satiated. Helicopters. He's satiated.
We were shooting missiles at each other later that day. But so I open the box, and I tear the paper straight down the middle.
Yeah.
And I see what I can't even fathom. And I tackle my father into the TV, breaking it.
He's like, I bought this off some guy that bought three of them.
I was waiting outside of Best Buy for like 2 days, and then I saw your sad ass go in, and I was like, well, gotta get that Wii here.
So you opened it.
So I opened it. It was a Wii. And
what did you see? I just want to know,
He told us it's a Wii.
So. No, but when you tore it straight down the middle, did you see the whole Wii? Because it would be really funny if it was just two eyes and you tackled your dad, and then it turns out that it's just like some bullshit that happens to have two eyes. I couldn't think of anything
else. It was the new Nintendo P.
Nintendo P. It's one of those Chinese knockoffs. So so you open the gift and then immediately tackle your dad. Were you aiming to tackle him into the TV? Was this sort of some sort of weird play, or did you just tackle him and then he The TV absorbed the impact.
I thought he anticipated me coming at him because it looked like he took a step back. I'm a lot bigger than my father.
Yeah.
He didn't expect that.
So you tackled him into the TV. You broke the TV.
Yeah, he was kind of upset.
Did you sell the Wii to buy a new TV? Because that would have been the ultimate irony.
No. No, we just pulled one from the basement, I guess.
How long was it before you got to play your Wii?
Like 3 weeks.
Here's what happened with my Wii real quick.
Got grounded.
Here's what happened with my Wii.
Hardcore.
My little brother wanted one for Christmas, and I was like, Mom, if you want to get this for Dan, we're going to have to go to the midnight thing. So I stayed in line at Best Buy for like 4 hours, got the Wii, and I was like, I'm playing this when I get home. And she's like, no, you're not. It's a Christmas gift. And I'm like, I just stood in line for 4 hours. I'm going to play this shit. So I played it before, and then I think Dan actually got to play it too. And then it was weird. We like wrapped it back up and put it away until Christmas to preserve the sanctity of the gift. I don't know. Now that I look back at it, that is a fucking weird thing my mom did. Just give us the goddamn present.
You want to know weird things your parents did?
What?
My sisters and I would wake up Christmas morning and we'd sit at the top landing of the steps in our house.
Getting ready for your parents.
So my parents would go down first, right? And they would tell us that they were warming up the camera. And we had to sit at the top of the steps.
Yeah.
So for years, we just accepted that. Like, we had no precedent to believe otherwise. We didn't know how cameras work.
Yeah, you're warming up the camera.
They're warming up the camera.
That's Calla, the studio dog. Want to talk about her warm cameras.
Sorry, and she wanted to play with her Christmas gift. This.
Piece of cloth.
All right, so you sat at the top of the stairs.
We'd sit at the top of the stairs, and like I said, we had no precedent to go off of, so we're like, yeah, she's warming up the camera. Duh. It wasn't until, like, 5 or 6 years ago, they told us, yeah, we were just making coffee and, like putting the presents
on. We just didn't want you guys around.
Yeah, like, they were just like, we just wanted you guys to chill for a minute while we got everything ready. You just woke us up at 6 a.m. on Christmas morning. Like,
that's true. I think it's weird, like, as you age, presents just fuck it, and then you just start sleeping in more and more. I think the last Christmas I woke up at like 2 p.m. and I'm like, sup, you guys have fun? All right, I'm going back to sleep now. We have a few more listed here. Did you guys want to tackle any of these?
I can go over really quick. Yeah. 1 year, my mom actually gave me cold hard cash.
Oh, yeah?
Which sounds great, except it was literally money frozen in a giant block of ice.
And did you just leave it out, or what did you do?
I ran it underwater in the sink for like 30 minutes.
So that was $1.
Jokes on them, because, you know, water bill and everything.
Yeah.
this joke cost you a lot more than $1.
And then...
How much was it?
I don't remember.
Probably a lot at the time. It was probably like 40 bucks.
No, it was like 100, I think.
Wow.
But to young me, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, you know?
That's a ton of money for a child.
I didn't get anything else, but that's okay. Like, it worked, you know, anyway. Yeah,
it was funny.
It was hilarious, because it was wrapped. It was ice wrapped in wrapping paper.
Oh.
That's pretty ballsy.
And then what we commonly refer to as the helicopter mishap of 2014. On Christmas Eve, my mom has a tradition where she gives all the guys one gift and all the girls one gift, and they're all the same thing.
Pre-gift.
And they're just something fun and goofy and just something you don't need, but it's just sort of something to occupy you for a little bit before you go to bed and have a good time.
It's for the cheer of the season.
Exactly.
Generally, an RC car or something of the like.
Something of the like. Well, 1 year she got us RC helicopters.
That's dangerous.
Which was awesome, because we were having such a good time with it. And we're flying around the living room, and my brother-in-law, you know, he flies his, he's like, oh, look at this. And he can, you know, fly into the kitchen, does like a circuit, and then comes back around. Well, the dishes from that night were soaking in the sink, and one of them was a crock pot that was full of water.
Yeah.
And Trevor's flying it around. He flies it right over the sink. It goes too high, hits the ceiling, drops straight into the crock pot. About 5 minutes after he opened the damn thing, we were playing with it. It falls right in the crock pot.
And RC helicopters are really not that cheap.
Oh, we tried the rice trick, and it did not work.
Oh, nope. I don't think they made rice like that back then.
We have a similar story in the Tremolio household.
I only wish I had allyourriceneeds.com back then.
The exact same year of the Wii incident. So I told you my brother was playing with a helicopter.
Yeah.
He flipped it around and shot my dad in the eye with a missile.
Dude, your dad probably fucking hates missiles. I could just, if that all happened at once, he's just like, Dominic, stop playing with the, pink, hits him in the eye, and then you're like, Dad! And then you just tackle him through the fucking TV. He like, just trying to bend his back into the right fucking placement while you're just freaking out. No, can we use the other TV for the Wii since I just fucking speared you through the other one, Dad? He's there fucking nursing his eyeball that's falling out because Dom shot him with a freaking, all right.
3-inch plastic missile.
It's been a good show. I just want a little bit more Christmas cheer here.
Just this, polish it off.
Well, this stuff is applicable even if you're hearing this like on Christmas or after Christmas. You know what's good for Christmas cheer? Watching Christmas movies.
Singing loud for all to hear. Oh.
Well, that's kind of annoying, TBH. So, I want everybody to pick their favorite Christmas movie. Don't think about it too hard. I'm just going to shoot right to you. Tyler, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
Okay. So there's two kinds of people in this world. People who think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie and people who are fucking wrong.
It's you are totally right. A Christmas movie.
Dude, hell yeah.
I saw this really great ornament and it's just a metal box. Like a metal cube, yeah. And on the inside is John McClane.
John McClane trying to sneak through the vent.
It's really good.
That's amazing. All right. No, don't think about it. Kevin, what's your favorite Christmas
movie? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Ooh, you know, that there's a... Remind me, where does that fall in the National Lampoon? Is that like a third or fourth one, or is
it
like the second
definitely
one?
After, like, just...
European?
Vacation.
Vacation. Well, because they actually use the moose... mugs for eggnog and the whole thing. I do believe it's before European Vacation because I don't think that had the same cast.
I feel like if they were going to do Christmas, that would be like the second one.
Right.
I think still want to say, one. I think it's the fourth.
Well, why don't you look that up?
Lampoon
while Matt tells us his favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, easy peasy. Home Alone 1 or 2. I'm not sure right now, but you know what? I'm going to go Home Alone 1 because Donald Trump is in 2, and that just kind of sours the whole experience for me now. No, Home Alone 1, you know, we joked about it earlier.
Joe Pesci.
You got the other guy.
What's his name?
Marv. Bandits.
Marv.
I mean, you Marv, but that's not... You got Macaulay. You know what? It's not only is it a... not only is it a great... Christmas film that just encompasses the cheer, but also encompasses the sad parts of Christmas, like the assholes who want to break into houses. And to that point, then there's a whole bunch of Christmas-themed traps. It's
true. Like it's that one thing that nobody, film. Like, still no one knows what the hell it is, that he wraps around the doorknob and it gets it all hot and stuff.
I think it's a prod or something.
You don't know what
it's
it is.
It's some sort of warmer.
You don't know what it's called.
It's like a tea warmer or something like that. Regardless. It's, like, it's just weird.
I would say that honestly, Home Alone is probably more violent than Die Hard.
Yeah.
It's more inventively violent.
Well, and it's more ignorantly violent. They're just like, oh, look how funny this is. That guy literally just stepped on a nail that went all the way up his heel. Like,
oh my god, that part was kind of gross.
After stepping in tar.
Tyler, which National Lampoon is Christmas?
3.
Woo! What's 2? You know,
European.
Oh, wow. Okay. Those are good. So we got top 3: Die Hard, Home Alone, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Check those out. They're better than the probably like the Christmas love stories you're going to be seeing.
Love Actually, it's supposed to be a good movie. I haven't seen it.
Nor have I. Guys, we were super thankful to have you this year. You guys have been really great this year.
Fantastic fans.
You know what? Indeed. At the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the season, we had restarted and rebranded the show. That was this year or a little bit earlier last year. Regardless, it felt like it's coming to its own this year. So not only do I want to thank the fans, but I want to thank Tyler and Kevin for consistently being funny as all hell and topical.
Yeah.
You guys have done a good job, and I'm hopefully, with unless there's some sort of national disaster, we're going to be getting even better into 2017. I just want to regale you guys real quick. We will be doing the next episode, as long as everything goes clean, should be around January 2nd or 3rd or 4th. It will be the Game of the Year episode. We'll be doing mainstream Game of the Year awards and then also independent games. That'll be a full episode. It'll be tons of fun. Besides that, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at TTramalio.
And the overall show's Twitter for all of our giveaways and our announcements and things that pertain to the show is at SuperGameCast64.
We also want to give a big thanks to Audible for sponsoring the show. They've been fantastic in helping us out, and we like to pass those you know, those benefits on to you guys.
Hell yeah.
So once again, the URL for that is audibletrial.com/SGC64.
If you'd like to reach out to us in any other fashions like email, that's sgc64mail@gmail.com. We do have a Facebook group. That's facebook.com/SGC and then 64 spelled out. You can also visit our Twitch channel. We are in association with Space Brain Gaming. Sorry, I can't talk. That's twitch.tv.
Shout out to Cal and the crew.
Yep, Cal, Dave, Marcus, Shiro. Merry Christmas to y'all. We'll be doing way more stuff in 2017. So you can reach us all those places. Kevin, as always, do you have a nice, tasty, maybe a festive game fact?
It's not festive.
Is it have to do with the colors red or green?
It does.
Then it is festive in my opinion.
All right. This is one I didn't even know. I don't think either of you knew this either. This is something that like really kind of took me by surprise when I found this.
I don't know what you're going to say, so why don't you say it and I'll let you know.
According to a Nintendo character guide from the early 1990s.
I don't know this. I'm going to tell you right now.
Everyone's favorite dinosaur.
Yoshi.
His full name is T. Yoshisaur Munchakoopas.
Nope, Are you sure that's real? Are you sure that's real? It seems too good to be real.
I agree.
But the T makes me believe that maybe it's like a class. You know, like Kingdom, Class, Phylum, all that stuff.
Ah, like he's like a Tyrannosaurus. Like
it's a scientific Yoshi's name, maybe.
Munch a lot of Koopas. Well, you know what?
I have a festive fact.
Okay.
What's a festive fact?
Christmas Vacation made $10 million more than any other of the vacation movies.
Well, it's because it's the best one.
And I have a Christmas fact.
At least.
The franchise Home Alone has produced more prolific child actors that have gone down a shitty path than any other Christmas-based. Macaulay Culkin's just not doing so good enough. You know, actually, he saved his money. He's doing pretty good, but, you know, he don't look like he used to. He's not the cute Kevin McAllister. Here's something I will tell you, though. The fat bully kid from Home Alone is...
Butch?
Yeah, Butch is
Buzz.
Buzz.
Thank you.
You guys are bad at
Christmas. Buzz is in a movie called Blue Ruin, in which he's in a redneck that loves guns, and he snipes somebody in the face. So that just fills me with cheer every time I see that.
Festive.
So, Kevin, thanks for the game fact.
Yeah.
Tyler, thanks for this other game fact. Matt, thanks for that depressing fact. We will be back with you guys in a week or so with the Game of the Year Awards, GOTY 2016.
That one is not to be missed. That's going to be a good episode.
No.
You could miss it. You could totally miss it.
You don't want to miss it, because this is going to tell you what was good this year, in case you have a backlog full of crap, and you're like, what is actually good? Trust us, we know. We will see you guys soon. Once again, thanks for sticking around. Merry Christmas from ours to yours, and we will see you on the other side of 2017. Or on the other side of the new year. Yeah, Happy New Year!
Hey, Happy New Year,
we're not going to be able to... anybody have any New Year's... whatchamacallums?
I'm going to...
Resolutions?
Yeah.
No, I thought you were going to ask if we had any plans.
Well, we'll talk, you know what? We'll talk resolutions on the other side.
There you go.
All right. We'll see you guys soon. And as always, get your mom a nice present. Why don't you do that this time?
Get her a stick.
Yeah. Get your mom a stick. Or not.